Hello, this is Rory Campbell with you for episode 5 of Music in Mind, and I'm going to start with a wee apology that it's been so many weeks really since the last episode went out. So apologies for that, but in this one I'm having a blether with Marie McSherry, health visitor who's been in Hoyk for the last 32 years, I think she told me. And rapidly heading towards retirement. So we're having a blether and we're talking and listening to music. Talking about and listening to. That's what I should have said. Okay, so hope you enjoy. This is maybe timely for you then, having a blether and getting to play your music and have a talk about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for getting in touch with me about it. It's good to have a chat with you and talk about music. You did give me a heads up. You sent me an email with a list of songs and tunes, things that are important to you.
Mm-hmm.
There's quite a lot of stuff there, eh?
Oh, there is. Yeah. And actually, I mean, it's very difficult to actually choose just a few things.
It really is, yeah.
There's still, you know, lots and lots.
Mm-hmm.
I think I mentioned I didn't have anything for musicals at all.
Uh-huh.
And I've found as I've got older, I quite like country music.
Right, yeah.
Although some of the country music that I really love is from years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I've kind of rediscovered country music.
Have you?
So, I've got quite a wide range of music that I like.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just wondering how, you know, you've entered this phase of retirement. In fact, you're nearing the end of it, really. What's it been like for you through the coronavirus pandemic, working and kind of towards the end of your working life, really? What's that?
Mm-hmm.
What's that been like for you?
Well, I have been a health visitor in Hoyk for almost 32 years.
Right.
And when I retire, I will be 2 months short of being here 32 years.
Okay.
And I've gone through, having my initial mums with their babies, and I'm now, my babies are having their own babies.
Right.
So I've had a long association with families here.
Yeah.
And when the pandemic came about, my manager asked if I would be prepared to move to CAS, because that was just being put together, and they were looking for anybody who could be able to go. So, of course, I mean, I said wherever you're needed, mm-hmm. then I would be happy to go.
Yeah.
Now, that was back in March. I'm actually going back to Hoyk at the beginning of September. So I've been away from my job for 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
So the wind down with my job is not going to, I'm not going to have the time to do that I thought I was.
Yeah.
However, being involved with CCAS, which is the Community Infection Control Advisory Service, has been really very interesting.
Mm.
It was a massive, massive learning curve. But there are nurses from several backgrounds, and we're thrown together under the management of Carol Anderson, and really, we had to gel together very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of work to be done.
Sure.
So we deal with community hospitals and care homes.
Right.
So we've all really had to gel and really learn an awful lot in a very short space of time so that we could be helpful to people who are calling and asking questions.
I imagine that was very intense.
Well, it was, yes. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And right at the very beginning, I mean, you'll know from the news and whatever that guidance that was coming from Scottish Government was changing very quickly. So we just seemed to get our heads around about one piece of guidance and then it would change. So, you know, everybody was really on the back foot learning. And it was a big difference in that I live and work in Hoyk. So I would travel a mile to work. And then for CCAS, I'm based over in Newtown St Boswells at the Health Improvement Office.
Right.
So it's a 44-mile ground trip every day.
Yeah, that's quite a difference.
And of course, that was a big change. But very good in that, as I say, it was a tremendous learning curve, but really, really interesting to see the workings of infection control. We had a lot to do with Mark Clark, who is the infection control nurse for community and for homes. And he was just great. Really, you know, listening to him and talking about the job has been quite fascinating. So from that point of view, I'm leaving my job, having learned something entirely new. And I'm having that experience. And obviously, you know, with the pandemic, it has been, for everybody, it's been very scary and, you know, people not knowing what's going to be happening from day to day at times. But throughout the health board, actually, it's amazing how people have just pulled together. And got to grips with what they needed to do.
So, on that note, I'm wondering if you have. We're gonna jump around musically, probably. I'm wondering to introduce a little bit of music into this chat. What's is there something over the last 5 months or so, something musical that resonates with you? Something that's maybe carried you through, or something that you can listen to now and you know it makes sense for it helps to make sense of everything for you, or is there any constant anything at all, actually, anything that comes to mind?
My absolute favorite music is the opera The Marriage of Figaro.
Okay.
And the overture of that, really, whenever I hear the opening bars of that, it just absolutely lifts my heart. And it is such an uplifting piece of music.
Thank you.
piece of music that kind of keeps going round at the moment is Vivaldi's Gloria.
Okay.
Now, that is a tremendous piece of music, and I just feel that at the end of all of this, that piece of music will just be there, because we will be so relieved and so happy that we've all got through it.
And that kind of sentiment that it's in our thoughts, that the whole experience, everything that we've all gone through over the last 5 months, 6 months, and are going to continue to go through, there's something there that sort of holds us and keeps us mindful. And
Yes. And the Marriage of Figaro was actually the very first full-length opera that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it in the Theatre Royal in Glasgow, and it was Scottish Opera who did it. And I suppose because it was the first one and it was that full theatrical experience, and it stayed with me, and it has stayed with me, and we're talking about something that I saw in the 80s. And they do some kind of lectures on their operas.
Right.
So we had, my sister and I went along to see the morning that they did on The Marriage of Figaro just quite recently. And they had the conductor there, and they had one of the sopranos there, and they talked about their experience of the music as well.
Yeah.
So that was really very interesting.
Yeah, sounds it.
So yes, it's really a very, very special piece of music.
Yeah, no, that's great. I really like your story as well about going through to attend a lecture where the conductor and the participants, the performers, they talk about their experiences of the music as well. That's brilliant. What's it been like over the period of this pandemic so far? Can you still access these kind of things? Has it been online?
There's unfortunately not anything with our local opera company.
Right.
Scottish Opera don't do anything. But the Metropolitan Opera from New York, they very quickly in the pandemic started, they have a back catalogue which is immense. And they started showing things for free.
Right. Yeah.
Now, usually, in order, you can sign up for a year, and it costs about £120.
Okay.
But they have, and they're still doing it now, and a different opera every single night, and it's free, and it's available for 24 hours.
Every single night?
I beg your pardon?
Every single night?
Every single night, yes.
Wow.
And the Royal Opera House have done some ballets and some operas,
right.
Not to the extent of the Metropolitan. The other thing that's very, very good about the Metropolitan is that they do an HD series, which beams into cinemas all over the world.
And
a couple of friends and I attend it in the Pavilion Cinema.
In Gala,
which is just grand. I mean, they've been doing it for the last 10 years. And I've seen some operas that I had never even heard of, and seen some things a few times. And it's like every other kind of music, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like, because you say you like opera, that doesn't mean you like every single opera that's ever been written.
Uh-huh.
There's some operas that I'm very pleased that I only paid a small amount of money to see.
Sure. Yeah.
And that I didn't pay the big prices. And I'll never have to see them again. But it's the experience of doing it. And also the fact that somebody local brings that in.
It really does make it, that's really making it accessible, isn't it?
Because, absolutely, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who say, well, I definitely don't like opera, you know, there's lots and lots of them there that folks can have a go at and think, oh, well, that's quite good. But yes, Metropolitan have done that. I find that I like big music.
Right.
You know, I've got the Raiders March from Indiana Jones.
I mean, when you're when you're talking about music from films, then it generally does tend to be big, doesn't it? You know, it's dramatic and orchestral, perhaps, in nature.
But that, the Raiders March is fantastic. It's another one of those ones, if you're driving along in the car and it comes on, you kind of turn the radio up a bit. And of course, written by John Williams, who's such an immense composer. But the Raiders is fantastic. Fascinated by how they can sit and they can visualise all of that. They can hear all of that, and they can then put a score together that we can then have an emotional relationship with. And that's really what music's about.
Mm-hmm.
It's the emotional relationship.
So that
you can hear something out of context, which might take you back to a film, or it may take you back to a television series, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the music can stand alone on its own, and you have this emotional reaction to it.
Okay, so it's the kind of the wonder of the musical performance, the writing, the emotion that's put into it, the kind of, you know, how it's done, how someone can actually make that happen, and also where it takes you. But where it takes you might not be the intention of the composer. It might take you somewhere else.
It's quarter to three. There's no one in the place except you and me. So set 'em up, Joe. I got a little story I think you should know. We're drinking, my friend, to the end of a brief episode. Make it one for my babe, and one more for the road. I got the routine, put another nickel in the machine. Feeling so bad, can't you make the music easy and sad? I could tell you a lot, but you've gotta be true to your code. Just make it one for my baby, and one more for the road. You'd never know it, but buddy, I'm a kind of poet, and I got a lot of things I'd like to say. And when I'm gloomy, won't you listen to me till it's talked away? Well, that's how it goes. And Joe, I know you're getting anxious to close. And thanks for the cheer, I hope you didn't mind my bending your ear. But this torch that I found, it's gotta be drowned, it soon might explode. So make it one for my baby, and one more for the road. The long, it's so long. The long, very long.
Frank Sinatra is my absolute favourite singer.
Okay.
Although, you know, there's lots of singers that I love, but I always feel once it's had the Frank Sinatra treatment, a song has been definitely sung.
So what is it about Frank then?
I think, I remember reading that he would never just pick up a sheet of music and start singing.
Mm-hmm.
He mulled it over for a long time. He read the lyrics over and over so that he understood the lyrics. His phrasing when he sings is really very, very good. And that's kind of another thing, that he thinks about how the words should be sung.
Okay.
In order to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
He always he had a great tone in his voice.
Mm-hmm.
And he surrounded again himself with great musicians. So again, it was down to the music that he used, the people who made the music, the arrangements for all of the songs and whatever. It's not just the song, it's everything else that goes into it.
Yeah.
And he really, really thought about the music that he was creating.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that I highlighted was this song called One for My Baby, which is probably not one that most people would think about. But not only it's a good song, and he sings it very, very well. The phrasing's wonderful, but it also kind of shows off the acting ability of the man, that he really, really thought about what he was singing about and the words that he was actually saying. I feel he was a very generous entertainer.
Right, that's interesting. There was something certainly very deep in his performances, in his music.
Mm.
You did mention to me as well in your email that you weren't particularly a big fan of the Beatles.
But
you liked their song, a lot of their songs, their material, when it was sung by other people.
That's true. I mean, for a long, long time, but I think the one that I particularly mentioned was Yesterday, sung by Mark Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time, I didn't realise the Beatles had actually written that.
Oh, really? Yeah.
and because that Mark Monroe was the person I heard sing it.
Yeah.
And he sings it. He sang it wonderfully, wonderfully. And I think I might have mentioned also that, just to bring Sinatra back in fleetingly, that Frank Sinatra admired Mark Monroe very well, very much, because of, again, his diction. Mark Monroe's diction was wonderful, and Sinatra liked his phrasing as well.
There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Why she had to go, I don't know. She wouldn't say. I said something wrong. Now I long for yesterday. Love was such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Why she had to go, I don't know. She wouldn't say. I said something wrong. Now I long for yesterday. Love was such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide away. Yes, I believe in yesterday.
Until I was a wee bit older that I realised, oh my goodness, that's who wrote it.
It's interesting though, isn't it?
They haven't done quite a lot.
It's interesting though. I mean, you know, once we hear a performance of a song and we connect that song to the person that we hear singing it, you know, and
that's yes, you do. And of course, you know, Mark Monroe's version of Yesterday, very, very different from the Beatles version of it. And that's the other thing, is that songs are open to interpretation.
Yeah. So,
you know, you can hear the same song seven times and it can be different on every single occasion.
Yeah, so it's a bit like what you were saying earlier about Frank Sinatra looking at the words and sort of reading through them and getting inside the story a little bit. Maybe that's the same kind of thing with Mark Monroe, you know. I hear the story, but I hear it slightly differently. I want to tell it this way.
Yes.
Yeah, it's interesting, and we all, like I, you know, mentioned earlier, we get different. We all get different things. Well, not necessarily, but we can get different things from music. We don't always. Mm. We don't all share
Very
the same experiences, obviously.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. There's actually another one that I would like to mention that wasn't on the list, and mm-hmm. it was actually a John Denver song.
Okay.
All now right. That's called. It's called Perhaps Love. Mm. And he wrote it in response to all of the letters he got from fans when his mother died.
Okay.
Now, the first time I heard that, he did it as a duet with the tenor Placido Domingo.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
Years and years ago, I saw him at the Playhouse, John Denver, I saw him at the Playhouse in Edinburgh.
Really?
And he was very good, really, really enjoyed him.
Uh-huh.
But when he came on to do the encore, that's the song he did as the encore.
Okay.
And it was just beautiful. And funnily enough, since I have heard it, I've actually sung it at three different weddings.
Oh, really?
When people heard it, they thought, "Oh, we would really like to hear that sung at the wedding, at the ceremony," because it is so beautiful. But again, two very different ways of singing the song, but both of them really beautiful.
So. That's the first time you've mentioned that, you know, you would get up yourself and sing a song.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Do you want to sing a little bit just now?
Oh, no. Wasn't really prepared for that.
And neither was I, but, you know, no. You don't want to?
No.
No.
No. Thank you very much.
Some say love is holding on, some say letting go. Some say love is everything, and some say they don't know. Perhaps love is like the mountains, full of conflict, full of change. Like a fire when it's cold outside, or thunder when it rains. If I should live forever, and all my dreams true, my memories of love will be of you.
We kind of went from the big sounding classical pieces to movie soundtracks and then we went on from there. But you'd also mentioned previously about songs from TV shows.
Which is
really interesting, because they transport us very specifically, don't they? When we hear a TV theme tune, you're like, bang, you're there in front of the television with your parents or whatever, you know, the situation. You can remember that show, whether it's a kids thing or whether it's a something, you know, later in your life.
I think that, the two that I really mentioned was, obviously the first one was Star Trek,
mm-hmm.
the theme from Star Trek, because that made a really big impact on me when I saw it for the first time.
Uh-huh.
And I remember that they took Doctor Who off and replaced the slot with Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing a clip of it in Points of View the night before and thinking, oh, that's not going to be as good as Doctor Who. And then by the time we had had the opening credits, the talk over to begin with, and then into the music, I was completely hooked.
Thank you.
other theme that I mentioned was the theme from The West Wing.
Yeah.
Which is much, much more recent, although, crumbs, it's nearly about 20 years ago now. But that, as a piece of music, is very good. It sounds very presidential.
Do you know, it's not one that I know, actually.
I beg your pardon?
It's not one that I know. Do you think we're at the point where we can think about something to finish, some music to finish off the chat with? Or have you got
something to finish with?
I'm thinking, I mean, you mentioned country music. Is there something from the country music genre you want to talk about, or anything at all, really?
I suppose kind of things that are more up to date with country, anything from the American group Lady Antebellum, or we have a British group called the Shires.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they're wonderful. Mm-hmm. There's a lovely song that they sing called "Crossing Your State Lines."
Okay.
And that's really good. And they I can't remember the name of the other one, but it is literally kind of talking about making Nashville under grey skies.
Okay.
You know, having Nashville outside of America, and I suppose they're thinking about it being here in the UK.
Yes.
But they are they're a super, super duo.
Driving across the Mason-Dixon line, I gotta smile.
can't really quite imagine what life would be like without music. It would be a tremendous loss to me, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it just kind of covers all emotions and it just brings even sad music brings something. It kind of music touches a place within you that nothing else does for me.
Well, I have to say, through talking to you this evening, your love and passion for music has really, really come across. You're really excited about it. You're really keen to share, and it's great. Thank you for talking to me and sharing your love.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.
And I'm sure people listening will enjoy, you know, your passion for it as well, and obviously the music itself.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah.
But that's great, Rory. Thanks very much.
Thank you for chatting, and I'd like to wish you all the very best indeed for your retirement.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Dancing with sweet country girls all night. People will come from far and